Casey Fewey. God is good all the time. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor you're looking good, better than yesterday. And tomorrow, you will shine in Jesus' name. Meta, meta. Sparkle, sparkle. Shiny, shiny. Wear shades. Let's give God a big hand. We thank God that He has been with us for 10 months. Amen. It's a blessing to be in this 11th month, knowing that God, who has been faithful in the past, is faithful today. We'll be faithful and we will finish this year strong. Amen. 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 We also want to introduce the new theme for the month. We are talking about inherit royal culture. Bwana asifiwe. We are reading Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 to 20, which will help us introduce this subject today. This is Jesus Christ as he began his ministry. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said. "I will send you out to fish for people." This is God's word. God's people say it.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated in God's presence. Those watching us online, welcome as we connect to this message today. Shall we pray? Father, we submit ourselves, our minds, our spirits, our hearts before you. The Lord, as we are fed by your word, because the Bible says man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Father, speak to our hearts. Feed our hearts. Let your word be the instrument that changes our culture, that changes the way we think, that establishes the royal culture inside us. So Father, as your servant speaks, anoint him with the right words so that, Lord, this message will be clear to all of us. Because we have prayed in Jesus' name, and God's people say,
Amen.
Amen. We want to introduce this message on culture. So tell your neighbor, leo ni culture. Amen. And by the way, I don't know what you think when we talk about culture. I even wonder if you know what I'm going to talk about. Hello? But I want to let you know that God is a God of plan. I'm saying God is a God of plan. And God as God has his own culture. And his culture is a kingdom culture. It's a royal culture. Now, I know you know your own culture. We have what we call educational culture, cultures of education. We have people, for example, in the United Kingdom who studied in universities like Oxford University. So they have a culture there that if you graduated from Oxford University, you carry a certain culture with yourself. If you're in the US and you graduated from Harvard University, there's a certain culture there. The university I graduated from in the U.S. is not Harvard. Thank you, Jesus. And it is not Yale. It is a very small university in a small town in a state where in U.S. ni mashambani. It was not in Washington, D.C. It was not in Los Angeles. It was in a small town called Arkadelphia in a state called Arkansas. And the university was called Washato Baptist University. Uko ndani mashambani. Now when I come and say I graduated from that university, it doesn't raise any emotional issues because it's not known. But for some people who are here and much older than some of us who graduated from the University of Makerere, there's a certain culture there. And these people are bound together, and when they speak and they say, I graduated from the Makerere University, it kind of draws them together because there was a culture that was built up around those educational levels. We also have the football culture, and especially now when we are facing the World Cup in this month of November into December. There's a football culture. And of course, it doesn't start with the World Cup. The football culture is already around. In Kenya, for example, people who lean to AFC Leopards. Hello? There's a culture there. Now, some of you may not understand now how deep set that culture was. AFC Leopards and Gor Mahia, there was a culture there that when the two of them played at the city stadium, the entire city stopped. The central police station had to be alerted, and everything was geared to whether that match would end in a draw or in a loss. And that was such a deep-set culture that grown-up men, fathers who worked for Kenya Railways and for Kenya Power, would carry stones in their pockets and go to watch a football match, knowing that whatever happens, David and Goliath will happen. It's called a culture. Very deep set. Now it's a bit diluted because it doesn't have that strong cultural setting. In terms of families, in issues of marriages, they're cultures. Some of them are very diverse, so that when you have two people who marry from two different cultures that are very diverse, sometimes it creates such a challenge in that marriage because it is issues of culture. Hallelujah. I remember when I told my dad that I had found a lady to marry. The first thing he asked me, where is she from? Because those matters mattered to them very seriously. So it would either give him sleepless nights or a very happy day to know whether your to-be wife was coming from. Culture. Sometimes we marry in the same culture. For example, in Western Kenya, where you have the Luhya tribe divided in so many languages and so many tribes in there, even in there, they're different cultures. Hallelujah. So from where I come from, our culture is such that when people negotiate dowry, they sit in the same sitting room and they negotiate. Where Martha comes from, though she is in that same community, there where they are, they do not negotiate across the table. They negotiate, they have a table here, and about 20 meters away, there's another table here. You don't talk face to face. And so when we went to that culture, not with our culture from where we came from, we thought they would sit with us. The fact that they didn't sit with us, we thought they were not very friendly. To them, they were very okay because they knew that's what they do. Those guys need to sit there, we need to sit here. We don't negotiate across tables. Now, we didn't know that. And let me tell you this. Before long, there was a problem in the negotiation table. Because where they were, they would write the list of everything they want. Number one, 13 cows. Number two, goats. Do you know how many? Number three, gumboots, oil, this and that. Hello? So they would write that, and then their secretary would carry the paper to our table, give it to us, and we would discuss and figure out whether we agreed with what they had said. Now, where we come from, we don't have many cows and big shambas. And so when my dad looked at the list and he saw number one is 13 cows, he was very encouraged because he knew that we could negotiate from 13 coming downwards. And so he crossed 13 and he wrote one. Our secretary carried that list to this side. When they saw the list that we had crossed their 13 cows and we put one, they felt very offended. On our side, we felt we had started at a good place. Tell your neighbor, it is a clash of cultures. So that here we are feeling offended, there they're feeling offended, we are feeling okay, but they are okay with what they said, we are also okay with what we say. It is just that cultures. And you know, we need to start a family together. It was a hassle. The negotiation just stopped. Nothing could move without, because on their side, 13 cows are non-negotiable. But you see, we didn't know that. I didn't know that. My dad did not know that. Hallelujah. It is called paying the price of ignorance. Tell your neighbor, ignorance is not good. But we can come out of ignorance. I will not go how far that went. But later, my dad, the secretary on this side, one of them says, and Martha's dad and the secretary had to make another table where they had to talk to each other. And it was from that table that my dad came back and said, these people are serious. They are saying it is 13, and if it is not 13, there is no food. So that's when my dad turns to me and says, Ambrose, can you afford? That was another cultural challenge. Because in my head, I knew the person who would pay for my dowry is who? Now he's turning to me and saying, if I can do what? I can afford. Now what do you do when that happens? You see, that's when I turned to another culture, the kingdom culture. In those few seconds, I told God, God, what do I say? What do I do? The Bible says the cattle on 100 hills, 1,000 hills are yours. God, what do I say? And in that second, in that prayer, I looked at my dad, I said, I can afford. Not because I had it in my pocket, but I had it in another culture where God says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Clash of cultures. So when we crossed, yeah, you can give God a big hand. So when we crossed that, the thing we had crossed, and my dad said, fine, 13 cows, we tick. It went back. The atmosphere changed. Everybody was happy. The rest, well, negotiable. You know, whether they are gumboots or not, coats, oil, honey, all those things were sorted. And that is when I realized that when those things are sorted, the owner shows up. Because in their culture, they bring to the groom a whole chicken. Not cut. It is complete. Mbele yako. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I have come to the right place. Culture. And let me tell you this. When those cultures are not understood, whether it is in matters of dowry, because in some cultures, the lady pays the dowry. There are some men are saying, I receive that. But in some cultures, the men are the ones who do what? Who pay the dowry. And then we are told you don't pay everything, because that is another offense. So you don't write a whole check and says, how much was that? And then you write it and you give it to them. It's another offense. So understanding cultures is important. And that is why today when I talk about the royal culture, sometimes you offend God because you do not understand culture. Hallelujah. We have the soccer culture, like I was saying, educational culture. We have all kinds of cultures. Music, the music culture, the age group cultures. You know, there are some people you cannot sit with because they're basically not what? Your age group. These are cultures. In some cultures, you cannot greet your mother-in-law with your hand. Maybe you come from a place where you greet everybody and hug everybody. Can you imagine in a culture where you cannot greet your mother-in-law and you can... My friend, you'll be crucified. No matter how much your mother is huggable, that's an offense. Tell your neighbor it is about culture. So how does this fit with what we are talking about this month? Jesus came from heaven and he wanted to introduce a royal culture. And he had to do it in such a way that it would be received well, because if he came with it just like that, it would not be conducive. That is why Jesus from heaven, the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, so that he could be accommodated in our culture, he had to be born like a baby. In human body, in human flesh. Lived among us in flesh, so that we would not be shocked when this king revealed himself to us. And so he lived in a village called Nazareth for a long time, until he was 30 before he started sharing this gospel. People got used to him. And now he wanted to unveil this culture. And this is what the Bible says. These are the verses I read in Matthew chapter 4. So let me read some of it again. Around verse 16, the Bible says this. If I can go there. It says, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And then in verse 17, he says, from that time on, Jesus began to preach or proclaim, and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come. In other words, Jesus was introducing the culture of heaven. Hallelujah. And then as he was going to explain it, I have apportioned it in three ways, that this royal culture is a culture that does these three things, and then I'll explain the rest in a moment. Number one, this culture that Jesus was beginning to share with them is a culture of purpose. And secondly, it is a culture of principles. And thirdly, it is a culture of possibilities. Jesus Christ was going to unveil to these men in Galilee what heaven was all about. And by the way, culture affects three areas. Number one, it affects your mindset, how you think. It also affects your language, how you speak. And then it affects your values and standards of life. Those are the things that guide culture, regardless of which culture it is. Your mindset, the way of thinking, your language, what you say, and your values and standards that form that culture. So Jesus now comes to introduce the royal culture by talking to them about how to shift their mind, how to change their language, and how to incorporate the values of the kingdom. And that is why he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is where? Is at hand. The word repent is not a religious word. It is just a mindset word. The word repent in the Greek, Pastor Kiniti, that word repent in Greek, it's the word metanoia. Metanoia. If you divide it in two, you have meta and you have noia. N-O-I-A. Okay? metanoia. Noia is mind, meta is change. Connect the two, you get the change of the mind. And I want you to know that if you're going to be able to incorporate a culture, you have to change your mind about that culture. So that if you don't change your mind, there will always be a clash. So Jesus comes and he says, the kingdom of God has come to change your mind, and you better change your mind if you're going to understand the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And it is about kingship. It's about royalty. Because we lost that mindset in Genesis chapter 3. But in Genesis chapter 1, this is what God had purposed for us. Let me read those verses very quickly. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 and 28. This is what God created us for, all of us. He says this, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God gave man dominion. Tell your neighbor, God gave man dominion. You see, God's purpose was for you to reign. Was for you to be a victor and not a victim. Was for you to be above and not below. Was for you to be a success and not a failure. That's what God's purpose. The Bible says, you know, that all things work together for good to those whom God loves, who are called according to his purpose. But Genesis 3 changed all that. Man sinned and started complaining. This had happened. They were thrown out of the Garden of Eden. But when Jesus came, he came to restore all that. So look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you are called to reign. Sio kunyesha. You're called to do what? To reign, to rule. That's why even babies want to, you know, they want to control situations. Children want to control their toys. Hello? Have you ever seen children? When you put juice in their cups, immediately they know which one is not. Mommy, you have given me less. I need more. You were created for more. Hallelujah. God has a purpose for you. And sometimes we fight when we find that some of these things we are losing because it was put in our DNA. But the devil has come and crushed us. The devil has come and put us down. But Jesus came and says, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. I've come with a heavenly culture. And this culture is here that you may reign. There is a purpose for you. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There is a purpose. Jesus says the kingdom of God is at hand. I want to change your thoughts. Just go to Isaiah 55 verse 8. I want to change your thoughts, the way you're thinking. Listen to what he says in Isaiah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And then he says in the next verse, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Then see what he says in Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. Again, talking about what you think. He says this. This is culture. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, do what? think about such things. Your thoughts. Then he talks about your mindset. The mindset. Romans 12 verse 2. The Bible says this very quickly. Change of culture. Jesus wants to change their mind. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. He talks about values and the values that are from heaven that he's bringing to us. To change what the devil has done in our lives. Because the devil, in his way of thinking, he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. So when you see somebody killing, stealing, and destroying, the thing that is driving them is not the culture of the kingdom of God, but is the culture of the kingdom of darkness. And sometimes they don't want to change because Jesus says they loved darkness more than they loved the light. And so the reason why we have been talking this entire year about royalty is for you to realize that you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And you cannot change just that like that. You need to have a total transformation. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, transformation. Amen? By the way, the word transformation comes from another Greek word, metamorphosis. That's where we get that word, transformed. Again, you see the word meta. And then you see morph. Morph means shape. Metamorphosis means to change shape. So that a caterpillar becomes one day, closes up, becomes, enters into a cocoon phase. And then one day the cocoon breaks open and a beautiful butterfly comes out. That is called metamorphosis. Now that's what your teacher was trying to teach you when they were teaching you biology. And you wondered, what is he talking about? All he did was write on the blackboard, please write the following, metamorphosis. You're wondering, what is that? It simply means to change shape. God wants you to change shape. He wants to change your mind. Hallelujah. So, this culture is a culture of purpose. Tell your neighbor, purpose. But it's also a culture of principles. That's the second thing. Listen to the next verse in verse 18 and 19. The Bible says this very quickly, talking about the culture of principles. The Bible says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me. Jesus said, I will send you out to fish for people. Now let me read that verse in New King James Version. This is what it says. Here it says, I will send you. Now in this verse, in this version, it says, then he said to them, follow me and I will do what? I will make you. You see, Jesus came to make these people. The reason why he started with Peter, he knew that Peter was going to be a very difficult person to change. Hello? It took time to change this Peter guy. He's a fisherman. He's a forward person. In Kiswahili, kimbelembele. Yani he likes jumping into a situation. I needed to change that. By the way, let me tell you this. Peter got really changed, Pastor Kineti. Because it is in Peter, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that in due season he may exalt you. Because he knew he was never going to be humbled by anyone. Even a lady who sat with him during Jesus' trial, he says, you look like you are with this Jesus. The Bible says that Peter cast. Now, he doesn't spell what he actually said. Maybe he said, more than you are. Qua. And the rest is unprintable. And yet, this is the guy who is supposed to preach on the day of Pentecost. And 3,000 gets saved. It needed a shift. Tell your neighbor, it needed a shift. And that is why the principles of the kingdom are important. The principles of prayer. The principles of reading the word of God. The principles of fellowship. The principles of tithing. The principles of living a good life. Those principles, you know, they are principles that have to be ingrained in you. How does that happen? Through the Word of God. The Bible says this. Let me read those verses. Psalms chapter 1, verse 2. Reading the Word of God. It's so important. That's why you understand the culture of principles. It says this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. The Bible says he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. Whatever he does shall do what? Shall prosper. And these principles, purpose is to reign. The principles are to realign us to the ways of heaven. And that is why Jesus later, when he was teaching the disciples, chapter 5 of Matthew, let's just go to chapter 5 of Matthew very quickly. He's now laying to them, laying down these principles. He says this in chapter 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He's teaching them. He's telling them how to be blessed, how to be the blessed people of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Then later in verse 13, he tells them, not only are you blessed, in verse 13 he says, you're the salt of the earth. You flavor the earth. Hallelujah. You flavor the earth. Salt. And Dr. Gakunju, since you are a daktari in those realms, you know, I used to wonder why God said you are the salt of the earth. Do you know why he said that? He said that so that salt preserves and salt also flavors. These are the principles you should understand. But then because I come from a scientific way of thinking, salt in chemistry, it has two elements, sodium and chlorine. Sodium is very volatile. If you put it just in air, it flames up. So it is put under oil. Chlorine is a gas that is poisonous. God, in his amazing way, he took some of our elements in our lives that were very explosive and some of them very poisonous, put them together and created sodium chloride. Imepita watu wengine. So let me repeat. Salt is made of sodium and chlorine. You combine them, each one molecule each, sodium and chlorine, combined as a reaction, it becomes sodium chloride. It is what you put in your food. Some of you did not know that what you put in your food is very explosive and poisonous. Some of us came from very explosive and poisonous situations. But guess what? When we met Jesus Christ, we became the salt of the earth. But it took understanding the principles of God, changing our mind on a daily basis. One of the cultures that I came from, because we used to say in Eastlands and later those sides of South B and everywhere, you know, we used to admire people who used to sing. I loved music from those days. And especially these guys from Tanzania who came and would sing amazing songs. Some of you are from just recent age, but in those days, there was this guy called Mbarak Mwinshe from Tanzania. One of the songs he used to sing that I used to enjoy was this one that used to go, Tina, 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 Jotu. Now, those days, I love that song. There was another guy called Franco from Zaire. Likambo likaina moto enayari. Tell your neighbor, culture. Another guy was called Rocheru. Baby, touch me. We came from that area. I love you. You know, those things used to excite our young days. Then one day, Mbarak Mwinshe came to Nairobi. Not only to Nairobi, he came to our estate, our area. He was going to have a live presentation concert right where we were staying. I was so excited. But one of the bad things that had just happened, 3 weeks before that, I had gotten saved. You see, I thought it was bad because of my culture. Just gotten saved. Then the guy shows up. I say, But you see, I gotten saved. And I said, I'm not going. There's a song I used to sing those days. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. And then the places I used to go, I don't. But the guy was there. Now the struggle of cultures showed up. I didn't know how strong it was. My friend said, are you coming to the dance hall? I said, no. The cross before me, the world behind me. And I went that day to sleep. Kiniti, I slept with all my clothes on. Only my shoes were not there. At midnight, I could hear the music because it was not far. Dr. Gakunju. Then I could hear the guitar. I was struggling in my bed. I was saying, I'm not going. Before I knew it, I had carried my shoes. I found myself in front of the dance hall. My friends are saying, Ambrose, you're here. I said, I've just come to observe the situation. Just to see. I was really having it rough. But you see, I was saved. Delivered and going to heaven. And there people are dancing. I can see my favorite inside the dance hall. Those guitars are just hitting very hard. And I told myself, I need to see exactly what he's doing. Before I knew it, I was right inside the dance hall. With every music, the lights going and going, I was inside. And these guys were saying, I met a friend of mine. I said, Ambrose, I thought you were saved. Yes, I'm just cleansing this place. Long story short, there's a lady who disappointed me in that dance hall because when I went to ask her for a dance, she refused. You know how a lady can look at you and through you and beyond? She had lingered me. Lingered? What is the word linger? Ignored. Yani, she ignored me so badly. And you know, in your young age, if you're ignored like that, I mean, it is traumatic. I left that place crying. But you know what was happening to me? Even though I was changed, I needed the principles of God's culture to shift me. And some of it doesn't happen immediately. That is why you can get saved here in church on a Sunday and be clubbing the next week. Not because you got unsaved during the week, but the principles of the kingdom need to culture you. That is why I'm glad you come to church. You're being cultured. Tell your neighbor, I'm being cultured. Come on, tell your neighbor, I'm being cultured. Hallelujah. Some of you are laughing like you'd never passed through some of these things. I see you. But thank God, you're delivered. Once I was blind, but now I see. God is a good God. Jesus said, follow me. You do the following, I will do the making. Keep close to me. Peter, I know you keep cursing, but we are together. That language of yours will change. But let's keep talking together. Keep close to me, I will change you. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you shall bear fruit and fruit that abides. That is called discipleship. The culturing through the principles of the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. So, this culture we are talking about, even though it is dropped in us when we are born again, it takes time to grow in us. And that is why you need to humble yourself enough to allow God to change you. Hallelujah. But finally, let me say this. Not only is the royal culture a culture of purpose, not only is it a culture of principles, it is also a culture of possibilities. Tell your neighbor, possibilities. Let me read Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus went all over Galilee doing some amazing things. This is what the Bible says. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then, keep going. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who are afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who are demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis, Jerusalem and Judea, and beyond the Jordan. In other words, Jesus was introducing a culture of possibilities. Tell your neighbor, in the kingdom there are possibilities. You see, Jesus came and he started to undo the works of the devil. This culture comes to undo the works of the devil in your life. The works that some of your cultures have put you in bondage and you don't know what to do. He came to heal sins, to heal diseases that were the effects of the sin that had come into our lives. He came to release and establish heaven's victory. It's a kingdom of possibilities. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, the way you see me, I'm a kingdom possibility. Hallelujah. If some of you would come to give us your testimony here, we would say, thank God Jesus came. Amen. Amen. Because some of us were in dark places. Some of us were irreparable. For some of us, it was irreversible. But when we met Jesus, possibilities happened. We got healed. We got saved. We got changed. We were out of order. Now we are orderly. You know, you look at Ambrose in such an orderly fashion. I was made a school prefect because I was completely disorderly. I never used to put up my tie. It used to be half mast. I never used to tuck my shirt. I never used to tie my shoelaces. I walked into Jamhuri High School just looking crazy. My hair, I had a very big afro. And it was just disheveled because I was in the wrong era. If I was in this era, thank you, Jesus. That would just be perfect. But when I was made a prefect, everything shifted. I became orderly. My ties went up. My shoes were tied. They were polished. My hair was trimmed a bit because I still had a very big afro. I stood up because I had to stand at the gate and make sure that people are coming in time. And those who did not come in time were in detention. During assembly, I was the one walking around checking people. The kingdom straightens you. And possibilities show up. Miracles happen in your life. Jesus moved from Nazareth to Capernaum. And sometimes God relocates you to change the way you're thinking. We are talking about the possibilities of the mind. Tell your neighbor the possibilities of the mind. Some of you have never thought of miracles happening to you. Start thinking today. The possibilities will show up. The possibilities in your career, God is about to do something. Possibilities in favored opportunities are coming your way. Possibilities of power, love, and a sound mind. Possibilities of a fulfilled life. This is what this culture has brought to us today. Amen? For some of you, God wants to take you out of this country. And so let me repeat that again. For some of you, God wants to take you out of this country. Sometimes you just need to see things differently. Dr. Gakunju, Jesus left Nazareth and went to Capernaum. Because in Nazareth, nobody believed in him. In Nazareth, there was so much tradition. They knew this guy went to Nazareth school in this school, in this place. He went to high school here. We know him. Who does he think? He's a carpenter's son. Jesus moved from Nazareth, went to Capernaum. And that is where miracles started happening. Sometimes God's possibilities are to relocate you. Kiniti, Pastor Kiniti, Capernaum is made of two words, Kappa and Naum. Kappa, Naum. Kappa means, you know, have you ever seen the kofia Jews wear? That kakofia? That kakofia? It is called Kappa. A Kappa. And that is why in Kiswahili, somebody who is bald and there is hair around, they call him Kipara. He's wearing a Kappa. Now don't look at your neighbor. This is just an illustration. Naum means comfort. Kappa means covering. Capernaum was a place of the covering of God's comfort. That Jesus moved from Nazareth to a place of possibilities where the comfort of God covers you. Yeah, you better give God a big hand. Some of the places I've gone have really transformed the way I think. Going to the U.S. changed the way I think when I went to study. I went to Amsterdam in the year 2000. In the year 98, I went to Australia, Perth, and Sydney. Changed the way I'm thinking. I went to London. I've gone to, and just a shift of a place changes you. I went to Dubai. It just shifts. And there are some of us sitting here who need to move from Kino to Kansas City. Hallelujah. Just need to move. Things will happen to you. These are the possibilities of the kingdom of God. But for you to move, you need passports. And I keep talking about, you better get a passport. You better get a passport. You better get a passport. There are some of us who still don't have passports. Let me ask in humility, if you do not have a passport, an East African passport. Now, I'm not talking about our visitors who have come outside the country and are here. I'm talking about now us Kenyans. If you don't have a passport and you are here sitting here, please just stand up. We want to pray possibilities into your life. Come on. Stand up, stand up, stand up. Now, for those who are still sitting and you don't have a passport, you need to repent. The word repent means to change your mind. Hallelujah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to pray because I'm about to pray. I pray that before this year is over, you have a passport. Because it will give you an opportunity to move from one place to another. And it is your right to have a passport. Some of you basically don't have a passport because you don't have a birth certificate. And let me tell you this. All you need to do is to ask. Come and ask some of us. How do you get a birth certificate when you didn't have a birth certificate? These are possibilities of the kingdom. There's a gentleman who came to me the other day, very excited. He said, Pastor Ambrose, I have a testimony. There's a day you talked about people having passports. And Ambrose, I went and got a passport. And he got a passport. That passport, suddenly something happened. He got a scholarship to do his PhD. He had already done his degree and master's. He got a scholarship to go to Australia to do his PhD. He went and did his PhD, graduated. Australia government, they employed him. They gave him residency. Hello? Recently, they gave him citizenship. He's working for the government in Sydney. A Kenyan who one day stood like some of you are standing, and that day opened a door of possibilities for him. Hallelujah. This gentleman was telling me that he was graduating during the Kenyans came when he was got his PhD, and the Kenyans came and they were celebrating. People are taking pictures. He also took a picture. Happened to take a picture with one of the Kenyans. She was a lady. And then this guy looked at this guy and the lady in the picture, got to get her number, then called her so that he could take her out. The lady refused. She acted hard to find. But about 2 years later, akaingia box. The guy is from Central Province, the lady is from Kisii, walikutana Australia. They're getting married this month. They told me they would be in the service today. I don't know if they are. Because I want to tell you that possibilities are happening. Robert, are you here? You're here? Hello? Come with Edith. Come, the two of you. Come. Come this way. Robert, this way. Would you need to? Come on, let's give God a big hand. Now, while they're coming, those people who are standing, can you start seeing possibilities? Can you start seeing possibilities? I mean, these two, it started with a passport. That's Robert. That's Edith. Hallelujah. From Central Province, all the way. Who could you see? They met each other in Australia. They're going to get married. I hope you didn't mind me sharing that testimony, because it really blessed my life. Started with this, you remember the passport thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. From passport to Australia to degree to fiancé. Hallelujah. And much, much more. And we celebrate you. We thank God for you. And these people will also have a testimony. Like your testimony. Amen? Now these are guys are Australians. So they are Australian Kenyans or Kenyan Australians. And may the Lord richly bless you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I just wanted them to see a miracle. The possibilities of God. I won't ask you to speak. Just go back and sit. You are blessed. Karibu san. We are about to pray. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor. This is a culture of possibilities. Amen. Some of you, your miracle is not here in Kenya. Your miracle is out of this country. We are sending you out of this country. In Jesus' name. Amen. We are sending you to go so that your mind is shifted and changed. Come back and make Kenya a better place. Bwana asifiwe. So, go online. Get that passport process beginning. Where you get stuck, let some of us know, but do something about it. And this month, let that become a possibility.
Amen.
Yes, let that become a possibility. So I'm praying for you, all of you who are standing up, in Jesus' name. I don't know why you have not applied for the passport, but start now. If you have done before, no problem. Start now, do something about it. May God open doors for you that no man can shut. In Jesus' name. Yes, receive that miracle, my sister. Yes, it's coming your way. Now, the rest of us, because I'm going to pray for the one standing, but the rest of us, shall we also stand? Did you learn something?
Yes.
Have you received something?
Yes.
This month is going to be an amazing month.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I am part of the royal culture.
I'm
a child of a king. I'm a new creation.
With great possibilities.
Miracles are coming my way. Opportunities are coming my way. I follow Jesus.
He makes me.
I follow Jesus.
He transforms me.
I read the word of God.
The principles change me.
I have a purpose. A kingdom purpose. A royal purpose. A heavenly purpose. Not a victim. A victor. Breakthroughs are mine. To receive. To walk in. To walk through. To walk through. In Jesus' name. Watch this space. I will be different. Come on, somebody give God a big hand. A culture of purpose, a culture of principles, a culture of possibilities. That's your portion.
Amen.
Amen. Let's give God another one big hand. Changing your culture sometimes may need a book like this, The God Factor. We are also changing the World Cup issue with this message. Just the other day, Dr. Kakunju, we have given the drivers, the Matatu drivers here, this book. We gave it to their leaders, about 300 copies. And it's being distributed to the Matatu drivers here. The border borders who are around us, we are affecting culture, changing their mindset. If you can buy some for your friends, do that. You never know what you will trigger in the lives of many people. I'm glad I came. I'm glad I shared this word. Come next Sunday, we pick it from there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah and the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah and the glory. We are blessed.
One more time. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, some of us may have come to church today and looking at things and saying they're impossible. Impossibility was all around us. Because God, things are not easy. The situation in the world is not easy. And Lord, we are not saying that we are ignoring all that. We are saying we are rising to a greater culture, a greater mind, a greater purpose, greater possibilities. And when Jesus, you said, change your mind, the kingdom of God is at hand. Lord, we want to receive that heavenly culture so that it can inform our earthly culture. I want to pray that in the name of Jesus, that God, some of us got saved, but we were not engaged in the principles of this royal culture. Lord, I pray that we shall take time to know the kingdom culture, this royal culture, that it will change our how we think, change how we speak, change our values, change our standards. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are men and women of purpose. Help us not to live a life that is purposeless. Let us live a life of significance in this month of November. Dear Father, I'm praying for many who everything is not possible, but today we are saying you're giving us a culture of possibilities. The book of Mark chapter 9 verse 23 says all things are possible to those who believe. Father, I pray that in the name of Jesus, this month will be a month of possibilities. This month will be a month of open doors. This month will be a month of breakthroughs. This month people will be healed. This month people will be restored. This month people will be promoted. This month people will be transformed in their personality, in all that they do. Families will be provided for. You're a God who supplies all our need according to your riches and glory. Dear Lord, we walk into this month as victors and not victims. We are walking into this month not as problem discussers, but solution givers. Dear Lord, we are walking into this month with Christ before us. We are following you so that you can make us. You will do the following. You do the making. Transform us to be part of the royal culture. So wherever you are today, as I'm praying, just surrender your month to God today. Your children, your family, your career, your projects. Give them to this one who transforms things. And I want to decree and declare that by the end of the month, you will have a testimony. I'm saying by the end of this month, you'll have a testimony. I'm saying by the end of this month, you'll have a testimony. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So Father, we thank you for having brought us to church today. Those watching us online, for you connecting, God bless you richly. And dear Father, may your name be established in our lives as we walk into this week. And now as I bless your people, may your name be glorified. Let's give God one more big hand and thank him. And share this message with somebody today. All right, somebody says, how was the service today? Ah, yeah, the service was powerful. What did Pastor Ambrose say? Oh, he talked about Tina. No, that's not what I was, that was not the main thing. I talked about three P's. What is the first P? The second P? The third P? You are A students. Come on, give yourself a big hand. Amen. Now lift up your hands so that we can bless each other and bless the Lord. Father, we lift up our hands to say thank you. We lift up our hands to say, may you be blessed. May you be glorified in our midst. And now, Lord, I release this blessing to your people. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May kingdom possibilities be your portion. I decree and declare that your Monday is blessed. Your Tuesday is blessed. Your Wednesday is blessed. Your Thursday is blessed. Your Friday is blessed. Your Saturday is blessed. Guess what? Sunday, you're coming back with a testimony. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You're blessed in the city. You're blessed in the countryside. You're blessed locally. You're blessed internationally. Your prayers are answered this week. Goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. You're rising. You're above and you're not beneath. You're more than a conqueror. You're a victor and not a victim. This blessing is yours and your children's and in your career and in your business. May you walk with this culture because it is a royal culture and it is your inheritance. If you receive it, you better say, I receive it. I take it. It is my portion. And there's nothing the devil can do about it. Now give God another big hand of celebration. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, next week you may not recognize me. My testimony will be bigger than yours. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Shalom.